I think what Sanelna shared, it really fits in with what I want to share with you this morning. And I've shared this at our community seminar when we speak about church. And I shared with the guys in the past that sometimes when somebody comes to church, they're so broken that they cannot connect with God. And they need an intermediary. They need somebody to come in between them. Somebody to love them and, in a sense, be God to them so that they, or reveal God's love to them so that they can now connect with God. And it was very much like that for me. When I originally came to church 15 years ago, when I came to the Lord for the first time, it was really the people in the church that loved me and helped me and to connect with God. That is so powerful. So I want to share with you this morning about coming home on a few different levels. Coming home. And what is this concept of home? When you think of home, when I think of home, it's a place I want to be. Would you agree? Home is a place where you want to go to. It's a place you want to be at. Now, I ask myself, what is the place where God wants to be? What would be God's home? What place or group of people would God call home? And it's a little bit what I want to talk about as well. Could you and I be a place where God wants to be? And could we as a church be a place where God, he can't help himself, he just wants to be. He wants to be here. So I want to share a few things around that. Heaven is a Christian's true home. When you become a believer, home is heaven. Why? Why is heaven home? Because God is there. Home is where God is. Home is where God's presence is. So, you could have heaven on earth if God is here. You could have heaven in your home if God is there. If you have peace in your heart, you have joy. If you taste heaven on earth, then it's home. Home is not a building. Home is not a place. Home is where God is. Well, for me, definitely, and I believe as a church, we are inviting God. We're saying, God, we don't just want a visitation. We don't just want you to come and visit us every now and again. We want what is called a habitation. We want God to live amongst us, dwell amongst us. So coming home, in a sense, would be, God, what can we do to prepare a place for you? So you can come home. Sounds weird a little bit, I guess. But this scripture shares it beautifully. John chapter 14, 23. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. What a beautiful scripture. What a beautiful promise. Where God says, Jesus says, me and my dad, we will come and make our home with him. But it starts off where it says, if anyone loves me. Jesus saying, if anyone loves me, what does that love mean? For me, it speaks of desire. It speaks of desire to realize that God is our greatest desire. God himself. You see, you and I come home when we are with God. Now, you have to taste this. You know, when before I came to the Lord, you know, I would, very much like Samuel shared, I had this void on the inside. I want to fill this void. It's like with everything within you, you want to fill this void. So you do everything you can. You fill, you stuff yourself. In my case, not necessarily with food, but with the world. Anything. stuff my life with food because I want to fill that void. And I didn't know. Nobody ever told me until the age of 18 that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment. You have to taste it to understand it. So many of us, we run around, we try and fill ourselves with so many different things, but nothing compares to actually knowing Him. Nothing compares to His presence. You see, you and I, we were designed by God to be inhabited by Him. You were designed. Your physical body has been designed to be a house for God. And until God comes and lives on the inside of you continuously, you always feel a little bit empty. You always feel a little bit empty. And I agree with what Sanel said, a husband, a wife, God can through them bring healing into us, but our husband or our wife cannot fulfill us. Only Jesus can truly fulfill us. I was just this morning again, just, you know, sometimes you don't want to do anything, you just want to be in God's presence. There's nothing on this earth like it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing like it. There's a song that U2, the band U2 sang, I think it's from the 80s, where they say, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And that's sort of, I would say, the cry of the world. We have never searched as much for truth as mankind is searching right now. Mankind has never been on such a mission to find the answers. But for many people, they say anything but God. Just don't give me, any God, but not Jesus, you know. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There is no life outside of Him. There's absolutely no life outside of Him. And so when you and I, when we come to Jesus, but more than that, when He comes, when Jesus and His Father comes and they make their home inside of us, it's coming home. It's coming home. It's finding rest for your soul. It's finding peace for your soul. It's the ultimate fulfillment. It can't be imagined. It can't be described. You can't really explain it in a song. You can't truly capture it when you write about it because it's actually about heaven. It's trying to describe heaven and nobody can. And then this amazing invitation. We will come and make our home with Him or with her. And it's not about heaven one day. This is about here and now. What an invitation. What an invitation. But it says there, if anyone loves me, is Jesus your greatest treasure? Or is there a competition? Is there competition? Because you see, He must be it all. Otherwise, you won't experience this. You won't taste this. It says there, my Father will love him. If anyone loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him. What does it mean? That scripture that I prayed at the start of this morning. If we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. If you desire Him, even just a little bit, if you put your little bit on the table and say, God, I desire you. It's 1%, but I desire you. Then God says, okay, great. I'm in. I can work with 1%. And then He will draw near to you. My Father will come and love him. And what does that speak of? For me, it speaks of healing, as Sanel shared. The love of God. Nothing heals like the love of the Father. And then this amazing thing happens in you. The more God loves you, the more you experience God's love, His tangible love, the more you experience it, it like increases your capacity for more of Him. See, the more you experience His love, the more it heals you, the more it makes you whole. And the more whole you are, the more capacity you have. It's like your heart enlarges, your temple enlarges, and so more of God can come and live in you. You are able to handle more of Him. The love of the Father. Wholeness leads to more of God. Wholeness leads to more of God. And I've experienced this over my life. It's like you just have more faith. You have more capacity. And so you just have more of God in your life. Love heals. Then it says, those who keep my word, he will keep my word. You see, when you and I love God, and I don't think it's like work, it's not performance-based, it's not like, if you do this, then I, it's more like proof of your love for God will manifest in your life. If you love God, if you love God, you will do whatever it takes to be with him. And if you love God, you know that sin separates you from God. So if you love God, you'll hate sin with everything within you. It's like if you taste the presence of God, if you know the habitation of God in your life, if you know his presence, if you know his peace, if you know the joy, and then the devil comes and knocks on your door, hey, how about a little bit of sin? You're going to say, no way. Not interested. You think I'm going to give up all of this for that rubbish? I don't want to lose the presence of God. I don't want to have to desperately pray the prayer that King David prayed in, I think, Psalm 51. After he sinned horribly, committed adultery, even killed a man. Then he prayed in that psalm. He prayed, say, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because David knew sin causes the presence of God to move away. Yes, when we make a mistake, we repent. God cleanses us. He restores us. Yes, but continuous sinning, it's sort of, God cannot inhabit that place. God cannot inhabit such a place. If you and I passionately love God, we will keep his word. We'll hold on to his word. His word encourages us. When you love God, when you love God, when you passionately love God, do you know what's the result? You want to take a Bible and you want to read about him. You take a Bible, you want to find him in the scriptures. It's love. It draws you to the word. Passionate desire for him. And when we love God, then we create an environment where God wants to come and be. We create an environment that means keeps my word. Keeps my word. You embrace the word of God. You want to fill your life with the word, which is represents Jesus Christ, the living word, because then he comes and dwells inside. But you want to create an environment. Let me explain. It's like you have a house and you are getting a visitor. There's somebody visiting you. Soon. Now, how do you prepare for somebody coming to visit? Well, if I look at my wife, she's very good at this. She prepares the spare bedroom, the guest bedroom, and there's all these nice things, and it looks like, wow, 5-star hotel. It's amazing. And we're sweeping the house, cleaning the house, making everything ready. When they walk in, they're going to feel, wow, they've been appreciated. They will experience the feeling of being valued. Now we should do the same for God. We should clean our house. We should sweep the place. We should get everything ready, put up a sign. God, you are welcome. Over here. Over here. Come and inhabit. Come and live on the inside of me. The place has been swept. The place is ready. I'm keeping your word, Lord, because I am preparing this house for you. But for some of us, it's like God saying, I really want to come and visit, but I can't get through the front door. There's such a lot of, it's just such a mess. There's just so much rubbish. I mean, he can't even get the door open. It's just a mess. And so sometimes there's this process we have to work through. Get rid of those boxes, get rid of that rubbish, get clean out the house. Why wait for heaven one day when you can have it now? Why wait to one day be with God if God can be with you right now? manifestly, not just in theory. We often talk about, yes, God is with us, but I'm not talking about theory. I'm talking about manifestly. I remember I read a book, John Bevere shared the story of Paul Yonggi Cho. He's the pastor in South Korea of the biggest church in the world, about 700 plus thousand people in one church. And John Bevere says he remembers when he was young in the ministry, was sort of the appy guy. He had to drive people around. And so his job was to go pick up this pastor at the airport who was going to minister at their church. And he says he picked him up and they were driving in the car. And he says just as he was driving, he just started to weep because of the presence of God that was over this man's life. Wherever this man went, the presence of God just went with him. It's just amazing. I want that. I want God's presence to be on my life. I really want that. I want God to be His presence to be on us as a church. I want His presence to be on your life because it will transform you. Because then you break out of theoretical Christianity and you move into real Christianity. Emmanuel, God with us. This is an amazing promise. I'll come and make our home with Him. I'll come and make our, we will come, me and my Father will come and we'll make our home with Him. Wouldn't you want God to come and make His home in you? If you've tasted it, you never want to have anything else. It's amazing. Is your house a place where God feels welcome? What makes God feel welcome? Well, holiness makes Him feel welcome. Love makes Him feel welcome. Humility makes Him feel welcome. Passion makes Him feel welcome. Obedience makes Him feel welcome. Is God welcome? John chapter 14, 26 to 27. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So here we get introduced, and I say this with the utmost respect, the super butler, the one who is able to clean a house in a jiffy, the Holy Spirit. So wherever God wants to go, and Holy Spirit's not our butler, He's God's hands-on agent, but He's our helper. He comes and helps us. So the Holy Spirit comes, and He goes before God and helps us to clean out the house, get things ready, prepare a place so that the... I'm back. So the Holy Spirit comes and He helps us. You see, the biggest mistake you and I can make is if we think we can clean out our house by our own ability. That's when you start carrying a heavy burden. That's when you start striving. That's when you try to earn the presence of God. You can't do that. But you can just welcome the Spirit of God and say, "Holy Spirit, help me. You, the helper, help me. Help me to be holy. Help me to clean out the house. Help me to prepare a place where God can come." The second part of that verse says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." When God inhabits your house, you have peace that transcends understanding. When God inhabits your house, when you know God is with you, when you know God is for you, when you know that He loves you, then you can be in Jenny's scenario, saying, "God, I'm not getting a salary, I need serious loads and loads of lots of money. But God, you're big enough. Let your heart not be troubled." You see, when you and I lose our peace, when we become troubled, then we also, in a sense, disconnect from God because there's no faith. You need to have faith. You need to trust. That's God's presence is drawn to the place of trust. Peace that surpasses understanding. Maybe some of us need peace this morning. You will only find it one place. You will only find it in one place, in the presence of God. All other so-called fulfillments are truly lies. Ultimate fulfillment is only in God. You'd been designed for that. Okay. Don't look other places. Don't look other places. Your heart should be a home for God. Okay, so the first thing I just want to emphasize here, coming home, you need to prepare your life, your house, your being for God to want to live here. Okay, that's on the one level. Now on the next level, a place where God wants to be. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 to 43. The Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. 3,000 men came to Christ. It was a mighty move of God happening. And then it sort of describes this new community that was established. And it says in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. This is Peter saying, be saved from this perverse generation. What does that mean? From God's perspective, our society is perverse. When you become a Christian or a believer, we should be different. We should stand out boldly, unashamedly. The whole world's going that way. Well, sorry, I'm going that way. That's where God is calling me. I'm going that way, and over here, I will be a house that God can inhabit. But if I just become like the rest of the world, God can't inhabit my life. So Peter says, be saved from this perverse generation. And it says, verse 41, then those who gladly received his word, again, the word of God, gladly received his word, were baptized. They kept the word, they obeyed, they were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. They kept on this path. What? The apostles' doctrine? Again, the word of God. And fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. What can we deduce if there are many wonders and signs were done? We can deduce from that God was there. Because only God can do wonders and signs. Only God can heal. Only God can do miracles. So God was in the house. God wanted to be there because this community of believers, they were a house, they were a home that invited God. And so I just want to highlight this one thing. Fellowship. Fellowship. It says there, koinonia. The word fellowship is the word koinonia. It's a unity brought about by the Holy Spirit. In koinonia, the individual shares in common an intimate bond of fellowship with the rest of the Christian body. Koinonia cements the believers to the Lord Jesus and to each other. So it's a supernatural unity by the Holy Spirit where he knits the hearts of believers together. And he causes the house to be a home for God. A new family, in a sense, a supernatural community, but bonded together by love. There's this one passage where Jesus was preaching, and he had great crowds in front of him. And then somebody told him, your mom and your brothers are outside. They want to speak to you. And then Jesus said a very interesting thing. He said, those who hear the word of God and do it, they are my mom and my brothers and my family. So in other words, Jesus was saying that this type of koinonia, this type of fellowship, supernatural fellowship amongst believers, it's even stronger, the connection, the family connection, the unity, it's more powerful than blood family. Because Jesus said, even in families, parents will kill children. Children will turn against parents. Because of people turning to Christ, people will, in a sense, lose their family, but they will gain a supernatural family, a beautiful family, a koinonia, a Holy Spirit united group of people. I know it's sometimes hard for us when we turn to Christ and our family doesn't. And they, in a sense, can reject us. We've had people, when they get baptized in water, their parents disown them in South Africa. Then you have, obviously, if you're a Muslim and those, I mean, then they try to kill you. You can lose everything when you turn to Jesus. But God is saying, but you gain the ultimate family. You gain the ultimate. Acts 4:32-33. A little bit, two chapters on. And again, it speaks about the community of believers. Now it says, now the multitude or the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And then it says, with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Again, a place where God wants to be. Great grace, in terms of God's grace, you can define grace as God's empowering presence. So this was a place where God dwelt. But what was the prerequisite? One heart and one soul. I shared it at the community seminar. But I've spoken to quite a few of my friends and pastors and been in the ministry now for a while. And we have come to find the power of unity compared to division. When there's division in the house, God is not present. It keeps God out of the house. When hearts are knitted together, when people choose to humble themselves and love one another, God is drawn to that place. And I believe that's what God has called us to. One heart, one soul. A place where God wants to be. And here is now the key. John 15:12-14. Jesus gives us commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Ish. Commandment. Jesus commands. He says, guys, this is not a suggestion, not a nice idea. If you are my disciple, I command you. Love one another. But as I have loved you. Sure, and then you want to fall on your knees, cry out to Jesus, say, Jesus, help. To love like you love. To love like you love. That's. But if Jesus says, I command it, then surely he gives the power to do it. Surely he gives the grace to do it and to live it. Jesus wouldn't command us to do something and say, well, actually, you can't do it. Ha ha. Nice try. No. There is, his word says it, so there's this place we need to believe and say, God, I receive the supernatural love. I receive the supernatural grace. You and I have the power to make this church home. Home for God when we love one another. You and I have the power to bring somebody home as well. What do I mean? When you and I love somebody, it's the quickest way to get somebody into God's presence. Bringing somebody home. That's what Jesus says. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. As I have loved you, love. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for another. So what does love, just shortly, what does love look like? Now in the previous verses in Acts 4:32, it said there, and they had all things in common. What does that mean? There wasn't a command, like, all right, guys, communism is in. No, there was nobody that said you must. It was a manifestation of true love that they said, you know what? What's mine is yours. Manifestation of love. You see, most people live out of fear. We hoard, we hold on. Fear-driven living. Love-driven living is, what's mine is yours. I'm not going to hold on to stuff. Home is heaven. Stuff doesn't mean so much to me in any case. Let's share it. That's powerful. Love-driven, a manifestation of love. Love in action. People giving of their stuff. Now that's sacrificial, wouldn't you say? Sacrificial. That it fat on means. It fat on your heart. It really affects one, your stuff. A few weeks ago I was praying and I saw this picture of a congregation of people. And then I saw a big blanket. The people being wrapped up in a big blanket. And I felt God is saying that that is His love. It's like the love of God coming and like a blanket. And then I saw this blanket drawing the people closer and closer and closer together until they become one. Just one. One in heart. One in mind. Only the love of God can do that. Only the love of God can help you and me to break out of our selfishness and our fear and our insecurities and our woundedness, become whole, and then love sacrificially. But we've been commanded. Commanded. So God's going to show us how. So what does love look like? Do you know that every person on the face of this earth has been made in the image of God? So when you see a person, you should remind yourself, I'm seeing a little bit of God today, so I can love them. Every person on the face of this earth has been made in the very image of God, even if they are wicked, evil, despicable, horrible sinners, haters of God, we can still speak with them with respect and love them, because they're made in His